Padam,
the status of understanding.
Yat, which
Ahu is called.
Vasudevakyam.
By the name Vasudev.
Chitam.
Consciousness.
Mahat Atmakam.
Manifest in the Mahat Tattva. The mode of goodness, which is the clear, sober status of understanding, the personality of Godhead, and which is generally called Vasudev, the consciousness, becomes manifest in the Mahat Tattva. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. The Vasudev manifestation, or the status of understanding, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called pure goodness, or Shuddha Sattva. In the Shuddha Sattva status, there is no infringement of the other qualities, namely passion and ignorance. In the Vedic literature, there is mention of the Lord's expansion as the four personalities of Godhead, Vasudev, Shankarashan, Prajumana, and Aniruddha. Here in the reappearance of the Mahatattva, the four expansions of Godhead occur. He who is seated within as super soul expands himself first as Vasudev. The Vasudev stage is free from infringement by material desires and is the status in which one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the objective which is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Adhuta. This is another feature of the Mahatattva. The Vasudeva expansion is called also Krishna consciousness, for it is free from all tinges of material passion and ignorance. This clear state of understanding helps one to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vasudeva status is also explained in Bhagavad Gita as Kshetrajna, which refers to the knower of the field of activities, as well as the super-knower. The living being who has occupied a particular type of body knows that body, but the super-knower, Vasudev, knows not only a particular type of body, but also the field of activities in all the different varieties of bodies. In order to be situated in clear Krishna consciousness, one must worship Vasudev. Vasudev is Krishna alone. When Krishna or Vishnu is alone, without the accompaniment of his internal energy, he is Vasudev. When he is accompanied by his internal potency, he is called Dwarkadish. To have clear consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, one has to worship Vasudev. It is also explained in Bhagavad Gita that after many, many births, one surrenders to Vasudev. Such a great soul is very rare. In order to get release from the false ego, one has to worship Shankarashan, Shankarshan is also worshipped through Lord Shiva. The snakes which cover the body of Lord Shiva are representations of Shankarshan. And Lord Shiva is always absorbed in meditation upon Shankarshan, who is actually a worshipper, one who is actually a worshipper of Lord Shiva, as a devotee of Shankarshan, can be released from false material ego. If one wants to get free from mental disturbances, one has to worship Aniruddha. For this purpose, worship of the moon planet is also recommended in the Vedic literature. Similarly, to be fixed in one's intelligence, one has to worship Prajumna, who was reached through the worship of Brahma. These matters are explained in Vedic literature. The mode of goodness, which is the clear, sober status of understanding the personality of Godhead, and which is generally called Vasudeva, or consciousness, becomes manifest in the Mahatma. We are reading today the teachings of Lord Kapiladeva to his mother Devahuti in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 26, text number 21. In this chapter, the fundamental principles of material nature are explained. Ishopanasad instructs us that we should simultaneously cultivate knowledge and ignorance. In other words, we should understand the principles of the spiritual energy and the material energy simultaneously. We are now entrapped within the three modes of material nature under the power of the energy of Maya. Unless we very clearly understand what is the source of Maya, how this Maya energy is working to keep the Jiva Atma under delusion, unless we understand the relationship between the Jiva Atma, or the soul, and material energy, and simultaneously understand the difference, and unless we understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his internal spiritual energy, and what are the similarity and differences between that and the Jivatma, our knowledge will be defective, and we will not have the proper understanding by which we can make spiritual progress. Sripad Madhvacharya was very clear and strong in describing these truths. What is Bhagavan, or Godhead? What is the relationship between the Godhead and the Jivatma? The Jivatma is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of God. Mamaya vamsa jiva loke jiva bhutasya. Qualitatively one with God, but quantitatively an infinitesimal part. This is our eternal constitutional position. The relationship between the Jivatma and the Paramatma is always as the eternal servant. And when the Jivatma surrenders to the personality of Godhead through bhakti or through devotional service, then all truths are revealed to the Jivatma by the mercy, by the grace of the Paramatma. What is the relationship between the Paramatma and material energy, or the Maya Shakti? The relationship is that the Supreme Lord, who is the cause of all causes, is the controller of material energy. Maya Vyakshena Praktiti Suryate Sacharachara Hetunani Nukuntaya Jagat Viparivartite. The material nature is always working under the control of the Supreme Personality of God. We read here in these wonderful descriptions from Srimad Bhagavatam just how the Supreme Lord manufactures and creates all material elements. As Mahavishnu, through his divine glance and his divine will, the Mahatattva is created. Within that Mahatattva, all the cosmic manifestation is existing. The Lord activates the Maya Shakti through his glance and simultaneously impregnates all conditioned jivatmas with material karma into the Mahatattva, and that is the source of all activation and life within material existence. As it is explained, wherever there is life, the Lord, as Vasudev, enters within as the Paramatma, and outside of everything, he exists in the form of time. He is controlling everyone through these two forces. Ishvara Sarabhutanam Vidyeshirajanatishti Brahmayan Sarabhutanam Yantravutanivaya. From within the heart of every living being, the Paramatma is moving everyone according to their desires. He is empowering and enabling everyone to see, to think, to touch, to smell, to think, to love, to act in so many ways. And according to our desire, the jivatma is acting in so many ways, sometimes pious, sometimes impious, sometimes in the service of the Lord, which is beyond the modes of material nature. But it is the Lord who facilitates, who gives the intelligence and the abilities to act according to our desires. So as Paramatma, the Lord is controlling everyone from within. And from without, he is controlling everything within creation through the power of time. Nothing exists within material existence that is not subject to the control of time. Even the deepest oceans will be dried to nothing by the force of time. Even the highest mountains will be less than dust by the power of time. And all living entities are being step by step, moment by moment, devoured by the power of time. So in this way, Krishna is the supreme controller of this material nature. He is the creator of the creators. He is Sarveshwareshwara, Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Jidraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karana. There are many controllers. There are many creators. The mother and the father are creators of a child. But who is their creator? The grandmother and the grandfather are the creator of the mother and the father, and the great-grandmother and the great-grandfather are the creator. And in this way, one goes to greater and greater and greater and greater grandfathers and grandmothers. But ultimately, Lord Brahma, he has empowered the Prajapatis like Kashyapa Muni and Daksha to create all the various species of life. And Brahma is the creator of everything within this material existence, all species of life. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatis. Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavam Mampavadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatis. But what is the cause of Brahma? Vasudeva. Krishna is the cause of all causes, janmadyashayataha. It is from him from whom everything emanates. Here in Tiruvananthapuram, there is a very famous temple of Sri Ananta Padmanabh Swami. And this is a very, very wonderful temple. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to that temple and spent many days having the beautiful darshan of Sri Ananta Padmanabh Swami, dancing into transcendental ecstasy and worshipping the Lord in this wonderful form. And in this form we find how the Supreme Lord Vishnu is the source of everything that exists. Lord Shiva, in the form of a lingam, who is the destroyer of this existence, is being protected by the hand of Vishnu. And Lord Brahma, who is the creator of everything that exists, we find how he is being created from the navel, Padmanabh, of Narayan, comes a lotus flower. And upon that beautiful, beautiful celestial flower, Lord Brahma is born. He is called Atmabhu because he has no mother. He is directly born from the Lord himself. And that Brahma, it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as it is described by Brahma himself in Brahma Samhita, how when he is born he sees nothing but darkness all around him. He does not know what is to be done. At that time he hears the word tapa, and he begins to perform tapasya on that lotus flower. And by his tapasya, the 18-syllable mantra is revealed to him from within his heart by the Supreme Lord. That 18-syllable mantra was none different than the very sound of Krishna's flute. And through that, he had realization and visualization of the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, because the whole purpose of this material existence is to facilitate independently misguided souls to go back to the spiritual world. The purpose of life must be understood at the very beginning of life. Komara acare pragyo dharman bhagavatan iha. Prahlad Maharaj described to his children, friends, who were only 5 years old. They said, Prahlad, at this age we should play and have fun in this material world. When we become old, then we can try to understand what is these higher purposes of life. And Prahlad said, no, this is not correct. This is the time, now, when you are at the very tenderest age of childhood. Because the purpose of life should be understood from the very beginning, so that every part of our life we are progressing toward the goal. And Prahlad was speaking through realization when he was in the very womb of his mother, the wife of Hiranyakashipu. Narada Rishi instructed him in the science of Bhagavad Dharma at that time only. This is the time, at the very point of conception, the mother and the father should be meditating on Krishna to help give the opportunity for the child to understand the goal of life. So at the very beginning, before creation even began, Lord Brahma was given realization and visualization of the spiritual world, of Goloka, which is the goal of this material world, to purify ourselves through the process of bhakti, and get out of the entanglements of material existence and go back home, back to Godhead. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from within the heart, empowered Brahma with all the understandings of both the spiritual and material existence, and and empowered him to create all the phenomena within the universe. And how many Brahmas are there? In every universe, there is a Garbhodakshayi Vishnu and Ananta Padmanabha. And in every universe, there is a Lord Brahma who is being specifically instructed by the Lord to create. So in this way, we should understand Sarva Karana Karanam, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is the cause of all causes. And Brahma Samhita describes how this Vishnu, Karana Dakshayi Vishnu, Garbho Dakshayi Vishnu, Shiro Dakshayi Vishnu, who is seated within everyone's heart as Vasudeva, they are all originating in Govinda Krishna. Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajam. How he is the supreme fountainhead of all the avatars, all the Lila avatars, all the Purusha avatars, all the Manu avatars, all the Gunavatars, they are all finding their source in Krishna. So in this way we can understand how it is Krishna, Bhagavan, who is the supreme controller of all material existence at all times. And what is the relationship between the Jivatma and material nature? This is also a very important principle. The Jivatma, because of our misuse of our independence, falls into this material existence, into ignorance. Material existence is a facility that the Supreme Godhead provides to try to allow the Jivatma to try to be happy, independent of loving and serving Him. When the Jivatma wants to be the enjoyer, he is given this false ego within this material existence. It is being described in this chapter how the false ego is the most subtle and powerful force within material existence. It is on the basis of this false ego that the Jivatma remains within material existence. Real ego is to understand that I am the eternal servant of the Lord. False ego is that I am the enjoyer. Constitutionally, we are never the enjoyer. We are meant to be enjoyed. We are Prakriti. Krishna is Purusha. But when we want to become Purusha, Krishna facilitates by creating forgetfulness. We forget Krishna. We forget how Krishna is everywhere, in and everything, and He is our Supreme Master. And we think that I am the center existence, and my enjoyment is the purpose of the universe. And what do we have to enjoy? We have to enjoy the gross and subtle elements of material creation. And we are struggling very, very hard. Manashishtanindriyani prakriti stani karashati. Struggling very, very, very hard to try to enjoy material. Just look at the cities and the towns and the villages today. Everyone is working so hard just to try to enjoy. Building their houses, going to their office, going to the factories, going to the fields. You have a family, you want to enjoy the family. So much difficulty, so much mental and physical anguish come along with the hard struggle to try to enjoy. But yet we will not give up this hard struggle for enjoyment. And as old age comes, we see how there's nothing left to even enjoy. Our senses can no longer enjoy. Our mind becomes weak. Everything around us is just going away. And still, we're just trying to hold on to any little particle of substance to enjoy that we have. Even when someone is on his deathbed, struggling in such terrible pain, he still wants to just somehow maintain this life for some hope of enjoyment. But where is the enjoyment? So due to our forgetfulness of Krishna in our relationship with Krishna, the jivatma is completely covered by the three modes of material nature due to his ahankar or false ego. And birth after birth after birth, the jivatma is transmigrating into various species of life simply to try to exploit and enjoy the resources of material existence. And at every stage, frustrated. So what is the relationship between the material nature and the jivatma? The jivatma has nothing to do with material nature. The jivatma is spiritual. It is the tathastha shakti, the spiritual marginal energy of the Lord. But under the influence of material existence, the jivatma forgets its own existence and starts to think that I am this body, which is made of the gross and subtle elements. This is called illusion. This is called maya. Maya means that which is not. When the eternal soul, which is pure, Satchidananda, thinks itself to be this temporary material ingredients, this is called illusion. Example is, if you think that a snake is a rope and a rope is a snake, this is an illusion. The rope exists, and also snake exists. The Mayavadis, their theory of illusion is, when you think that a rope is a snake, that it is an illusion. It neither exists. But in Vaishnava philosophy, we understand that factually the rope does exist. And also, we have seen the snake. Why? Because a snake also exists. But what is the problem? When you think the rope is the snake, that is maya, that is illusion, that which is not. They are both existing, but when you misconceive one to be the other, that is material, that is illusion. So similarly, this material nature is eternal. This material world is not an illusion, it is real. It is created by God. How could anything created by God not be real? But it is temporary. Material nature is eternal. But all of the manifestations and combinations of within material nature have a temporary existence. But when the jivatma, who is real, and material nature is real, when the jivatma thinks that I am that material nature, that is illusion, that is maya, tattvamasi. But when we understand I am that, I am the eternal soul, I am part of Krishna, that is truth. And this material nature is an energy, it is a residence in which the soul is temporarily surviving. And therefore a devotee utilizes this body as far as possible for the real purpose of the soul, which is the service of the Lord. And Srila Rupa Goswami explains this is the most perfect form of renunciation, not to give up the things of the world, but to use them for their real purpose, service to Krishna. We can use houses, we can use cars, automobiles, we can use computers, we can use so many cooking facilities, we can use everything within this world, not for our own enjoyment, that is maya, but for the purpose of serving Krishna, that is bhakti, that is the highest truth. So the relationship between the jivatma and material nature is that the jivatma is always separate from material nature, but temporarily under the control of material nature. And what is the relationship between one jivatma and another jivatma? This is also explained by Madhvacharya. That the jivatma, just like the description is given, the sun is emanating so many, many innumerable sun rays, and each ray is identical to every other ray in its quality. But at the same time, each one is distinct and individual. In the same way, all the jivatmas, all the sources of life or souls within everyone's heart are of the same quality in that we are all part of Krishna. But each one has a unique, independent, separate identity from all others. The Mayavadis, they claim that all conception of individual identity within the jivatma is an illusion and it is temporary. And ultimately, you are me and I am you. One time someone told me like this. They said, they came to our community and they said, we like this community very much because in this community there is so much love amongst each other, and I love you because you are me. If I love you, I'm loving me. And I was thinking, what kind of love is that? Love is supposed to be selfless, unconditional. That kind of love is completely selfish. Whatever I give you, ultimately I'm giving me. One of our God brothers, Guru Das, he was with our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And they were traveling, and they were in a cold place. And one Mayavadi philosopher started challenging that there is no difference between you and me, that everything is one. God is one. All conception of individual existence is an illusion. Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mitya. That there is one truth, Brahman, and we are all that Brahman. And all idea that you are you and I am I is all an illusion. So that night, that devotee was very, very cold because it was very cold outside. Not devotee, that philosopher, he was very cold. And he had a blanket. The Guru Das told him, give me your blanket. He said, how can I give you my blanket? I'm very cold. He said, because if I'm warm, then you will be warm. Because you are me and I am you. So in order to prove that he lived by his philosophy, he gave his blanket. But then he was very cold. So he came back later and said, please give me my blanket. He said, why should I? You are me, I am you. If you want me to give you your blanket, then you have to admit that you are not me and I am not you. That we are all eternally individual entities. So because it was so cold out, he said, yes, yes. We are not one. We are different. So then he got his blanket. So this philosophy has no practical sense. We should understand that every jivatma is a unique, independent personality, different from each other. Otherwise, if one person attains mukti, why everyone doesn't attain mukti? We're all one. If Mataji attains mukti, then I should also attain mukti, and you should all attain mukti. If she attains mukti, we're all still struggling with material existence. Because we are all individual identities, personalities. So every jivatma has a relationship with each other in that we are all God brothers and God sisters, eternally. In the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, and in the highest abode of Goloka Vrindavan, we find there is devotees serving in Santaras, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, Madhuyaras. In Goloka Vrindavan there are little grass, and all the grass are devotees. And they're all just making themselves so green and so soft, so that when Krishna and the other bhaktas step on them, they're very soft. When the cows step on the piece of grass, the grass is thinking that this cow is very dear to Krishna. Let me make myself so soft that the cow feels pleasure when stepping on me, because if the cow is pleased, then the cowherd boys will be pleased, and if the cowherd boys will be pleased, then Krishna will be pleased. Even someday Krishna will step on me, and I will be so green and so soft. In this way, the blade of grass is in ecstatic love, simply thinking how to make Krishna and his devotees happy. Everyone is interrelated, and all the blades of grass, they are all together, they are all together, making themselves so nice and green and so soft. Because after all, when you step on grass, you don't step on just one blade at a time. You step on so many. So the grass is all performing sankirtan. They are all together, making a wonderful group effort to make themselves nice to see, nice to feel, and not only that, but in the Goloka Vrindavan, all the grass, they are all together in beautiful, sweet voice chanting,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And similarly, the flowers that are growing in the water of Jamuna and in the Chintamani soil of Braja. And then there is the bees, they are humming, singing beautiful songs together. And there is the cows and the parrots and the monkeys and the deers and the swans. And there is the Krishna's servants and his cowherd boyfriends and the elderly gopas and gopis who think that Krishna is their son, headed by Nanda and Yashoda. And then there is the gopis, each one is an individual. One is making garlands for Krishna. One is preparing bhoga or prasad for Krishna. Another is sewing nice garments for Krishna. Another is fanning Krishna. Another is playing the veena. Another is playing the drum, mridanga. Others are singing. Others are making nice julan swing for Radha and Krishna. In this way, all of the gopis are unique, eternal individuals to assist the blessed love affairs of Radha. So in the material world, the jivatmas are all eternally separate. And in the spiritual existence, in the spiritual world, every jivatma is eternally a unique personality. And in the spiritual world, or in spiritual consciousness, all such eternal servants of the Lord are lovingly harmonizing with one another for the pleasure of God. And what is the relationship with the objects of material existence with other objects of material existence? They are also unique. Separate. It is not that anything is one. Material existence, there are so many atoms and so many molecules at the very, very fundamental levels of physics, creation. And they are all individual and they are all working together, the electrons, the neutrons, the atoms, the molecules, under the direction of the Lord. So in this way, everything within creation is interrelated, but individualistic, and in the spiritual world as well. So there is the internal potency, or Krishna's spiritual energy, there is the marginal energy, and there is the material energy. Marginal energy is the jivatma, and material energy is this maya shakti, material existence. And how they are all interrelated with one another is knowledge. And how through the process of devotional service we can achieve the grace of the Lord, and by achieving the grace of the Lord, realization and experience of our eternal blissful existence, liberation from material energy is achieved. It is described here by Srila Prabhupada in the purport that Vasudeva is Krishna. But when Krishna enters into the heart as Paramatma, he becomes Vasudeva. And to have clear consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, one has to understand one's relationship with the Lord within his heart. And he is also explaining here that this Chatur Vyuha, the Shankarshan, Aniruddha, Vasudev, Prajumana, all of these expansions of the Supreme Lord Krishna are manifested within this material existence. Vasudeva is the Paramatma within everyone's heart, is worshipped to achieve clear consciousness. In order to become free from the false ego, one should worship Shankarshan. And it is described here how one worships Shankarshan through Lord Shiva. People in general do not understand so much what is the true worship of Lord Shiva. It is described here in the Shastra that Lord Shiva is a representative of Shankarshan. He is an expansion of Shankarshan, and he is always meditating on Shankarshan. And it is described that Lord Shiva is always decorated with various serpents. Many interpretations of what are these serpents. And in spiritual truth, many, many different explanations can be true. Because Lord Shiva drank the halahala, the ocean of poison, which was about to destroy all the universe. Therefore, his throat became black from that poison. It's called Nilakanta. And because he had drunk that poison, even the most venomous snakes, he has no fear of, because he is immune to all poison. And those decorative snakes actually show his supreme compassion upon all living beings, how he was willing to drink the poison just to protect you and me from death, destruction. But also on a higher level, it is described here that Shankarshan, an expansion of Shankarshan, is Anandashesha. It takes the form of serpent. And because Lord Shiva is constantly meditating on Shankarshan, constantly assisting the will of Shankarshan, who is the Lord himself, therefore, little Shankarshans are decorating him. Representations of Shankarshan are decorating him. It's like sometimes devotees, when they worship Krishna, they wear little Krishna pictures on them. What are they called?
Locket.
They call Krishna Locket. Or sometimes they write the names of Krishna. Because the person they're worshipping, they want to represent. So in the same way, Shiva decorates himself with serpents who represent Shankarshan, of becoming free of our false ego. Shankarshan is that personality who helps free us from this false ego. And Aniruddha is the predominant deity of the mind. The mind, so much disturbance. Who does not have a disturbed mind in this age of Kali Yuga? By worshipping Aniruddha, we could actually become free from the disturbances of the mind and find real peace. And Prajumana is the predominating murti of the intelligence within material existence. And his representative is Lord Brahma. By worshipping Brahma, we should understand that we are actually approaching Prajumana for the purpose of getting purified intelligence. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made things very simple. He has given us the truth about Krishna. Sarvadharman Purityaja Mame Kam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarvapapebhyo Mokshaya Sarvapasam. We just surrender to Krishna. Automatically, Shankar, Shan, and Shiva, Vasudev, the Lord in the heart, the Lord of the false ego, Aniruddha, the Lord of the mind, Prajumana, the Lord of the intelligence, they are all part and parcel of, they are all expansions, not part and parcel, they are all expansions of Krishna. He is the cause of everything and everyone. We just worship Krishna, automatically we achieve the results of all of these separate efforts for our spiritual purification. There's nothing else required. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us by sincerely chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are performing the most important, the most effective service to the Supreme Lord, and everything else will be contained in that. It's like if we water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is automatically nourished. Similarly, if we worship Govinda, Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, if we worship Krishna, who is the cause of all causes, Sarvakarana Karanam, automatically, all the different particular forms of worship of the demigods, all of the different worships of the various expansions and avatars are all completely fulfilled. If we worship Mukunda, we have no other obligation. Everything is satisfied. And Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu has taught us how to worship Mukunda. By associating with his devotees, by serving his devotees, by living a pure life, and by attentively chanting his holy names, especially the greatest of all the manifestations of Krishna's names within this age of Kali Yuga, the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
Tulasi plant, we have so many Tulasi plants here. And is it all the expansion of Tulasi Devi? Or is it so? All the plants are having Atmas individually.
But you should understand that this is Tulsi Devi is a spiritual plant, not a material plant. In the sense that Tulsi Devi expands herself within each and every Tulsi plant and accepts our worship and our love. So we should honor her and worship Tulsi, because Tulsi Devi is very dear to Krishna. She is Krishna's eternal servant, pure devotee. Same Vrinda Devi, Tulsi Devi of Vrindavan, has expanded herself to receive our service within this world in the form of the Tulsi plant. And therefore the greatest acharyas, they have all shown us by their example. Srila Thakur Haridas, he would chant 300,000 names Krishna each day. It was his regulation to chant all of those names in front of the Tulsi as far as possible. Any other questions?
Sir, creation and so Lord Shiva, Brahma, Vishnu. Only Brahma is considered Jivatma, others are not Jivatma. Shiva and Vishnu not Jivatma. But if there is another personality to like Brahma, then the dissolution also Jivatma can do, and the maintenance also Jivatma can do. Like a personality like Brahma, powerful personality, Jivatma is there, then the same thing what Vishnu is doing, the same thing can that Jivatma can do.
Vishnu can empower Jivatma in any way he so desires. Krishna is unlimited. Krishna can empower the Jivatma to do unlimited things also. This is what Shaktyavesh avatar means. But the very power of God is manifested within the Jivatma by the will of God. So, of the guna avatars, Vishnu is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead, expansion of the original Govindamadi Purushottama. Shiva is also an expansion of Vishnu. Shiva is never Jivatma. Shiva is a Vishnu avatar, but not in the role of a Vishnu avatar. It is Shiva Tattva. Rama Samhita explains this like milk is transformed to yogurt, and although yogurt is nothing, dahi is nothing but milk, still it is separate, always. So in the same way, when Vishnu manifests himself as Lord Shiva, he creates a unique separate tattva, Shiva tattva. Not subjective to the laws of material existence. Shiva is never created or destroyed. He manifests himself within the universe, and he, at a certain period, when Brahma becomes angry with the four Kumaras for not taking to Grihastha ashram, from that anger, his eyebrows frown, and from his third eye, from the center forehead, Shiva is manifested. We should understand he is not born at that time. He is just appearing in that way. But Shiva is eternal. Brahma Samhita also explains this. This material existence is called Devi Dham, the abode of Maya. But above this material existence is the eternal abode of Mahesh Dham, or Shiva, which is not at all in any way subjected to the temporary conditions. Is beyond time. And above Mahesh Dham is Hari Dham, the abode of Lord Narayan. And above the Vaikunthas, and above Hari Dham is Goloka, Krishna Loka, the highest abode. So Shiva is a tattva which is eternal and expands, coming from the expansion of Lord Shankarshan Vishnu. And Lord Brahma, as we see in the Ananta Padmanabh Murti, he is being born from the navel of Vishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, and generally Brahma is a jiva atma, an individual part and parcel living entity. You can become Lord Brahma if you so desire.
Huh?
You can live in Satyaloka, Brahma Loka, and you can create and supervise the entire material universe. Any jivatma can become Brahma if they accumulate the proper pious karma and do the appropriate sacrifices. So Brahma is generally jivatma. But it is described that on some special occasions, where there is no jivatma who is qualified to become Brahma within a universe, at that time Vishnu himself can expand and personally become Brahma. He plays the role of a Jivatma, although he's Vishnu himself. Does that answer your question? Any other questions? I am very happy to be with all of you here in Trivandrum, Tiruvananthapuram. Very beautiful city. And a very special place. This whole town is built around the temple of Lord Vishnu. Sometimes I think the people here forget this reality, that this whole town was built around the temple of Sri Ananta Padmanabha. Huh? Most of them have forgotten, Ananda Puran is saying. This is unfortunate. It is the purpose of this temple, Srila Prabhupada's temple, by the grace of Srila Jayaprathak Maharaj. His disciples are here, giving all of you a wonderful opportunity to know that Krishna is really the center of our life. And by pleasing Krishna, we can find real happiness, real joy. The greatest way to please Krishna is to live with Krishna's devotees in that association and try to push forward this movement of the Lord by chanting His holy names. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came here and blessed this place. And now He has returned in the form devotees to bring everyone's attention back to Krishna. So please, everyone, try to assist this wonderful movement in every way possible that you can. And remain very pure. And you will find the greatest fortune.